Well, good evening, everybody. Did you enjoy the worship? How many of you believe God is good? Give him a big hand. Amen. Anybody here for the first time tonight? You're still battling with amnesia. There we go. There we go. Welcome. Amen. Praise God. Is that your other sister? So it's a family affair. Ah, there we go. Praise God. Well, bless Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 31, we find the following scripture. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it shall be given unto you." And their sight was restored. Okay. Jesus is walking down the road. It says, as Jesus went on from there, Jesus was on a journey. He was traveling from one place to another. It wasn't strange or weird or funny for people to come to Jesus asking him for whatever, whether they needed healing, whether they needed some form of deliverance, whether they needed some kind of a miracle, because the word had already spread that Jesus, when he came into the situation, things changed. So these two blind men were coming to Jesus because they had also heard of the healings and of the miracles that had taken place. One thing you have to understand, sometimes I think for us this is a really, really strange concept, but in the days that Jesus walked the earth, the power of God had been missing for 400 years. Nobody had experienced God for 400 years. They had to just believe for the sake of believing. There was no prophets. There was no signs. There was no wonders. There was no miracles. And then suddenly, after 400 years, it's like God breaks the drought. Boom. God's power moves. But unlike through Moses, unlike through Elijah, unlike through Elisha, or any of the other prophets, this is like massive. Because now, you know, all the prophets of old mimicked what Jesus did. Am I talking nonsense? Well, Jesus walked on water, Moses went through it. Okay? Jesus healed the sick, Elijah healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead, Elijah raised the dead. Jesus multiplied food source, Elijah multiplied food source. So in the end, when we look at it, nothing that Jesus came to do was really new, except one thing. He cast out demons. Nobody cast out demons in the Old Testament. But Jesus did it on a scale that was unheard of. We read of 10... Yes, he did. But at this point in time, these people don't know that yet. Elijah did 10 miracles. Elisha did 20 documented miracles. Jesus did that many in an hour. This is the scale of God's mercy. This is the scale, the magnitude of the ministry that walked the earth when Jesus walked the earth. Now, imagine, just imagine if in this area, let's just call this the south of Johannesburg. Imagine if in the south of Johannesburg, something happens where an individual starts moving through this place. In the first 15 minutes, 10 people get out of their wheelchairs, 12 blind eyes open. He walks past a hearse taking somebody to the graveyard, and suddenly nobody's crying anymore. Everybody's jumping up and down because the oak just sat up and asked for coffee. And it's not impossible. Things happen. And, you know, there's just amazing signs, wonders, and miracles. What is going to happen? Are you going to keep quiet about it? You're going to talk about it. In fact, no, you won't sleep. I know you. You won't sleep for a week. People are going to get all excited and people are going to talk. Now, it was no different back then. People were talking. Now, you see, here's the thing. These oaks, they were blind. They couldn't see any of the things that Jesus did. But their ears were very well tuned to listen. And as far as they went, this one name kept appearing, Jesus. And every time they listened, they heard of another miracle. They heard of a hello. This little cutie is, she's also tuning her ear. She's listening very, very nicely. As far as they went, they kept hearing more and more things that Jesus did. And it's obvious what went on in their hearts. They were blind. They heard of blind eyes opening. They heard of deaf ears hearing. They heard of signs and wonders and miracles, and they wanted to be where Jesus was. So they met with him. Just prior to meeting with these men, Jesus had actually raised a young girl from the dead. And the rumors about him had spread over all the region. As far as the miraculous is concerned, I don't think you get much bigger than raising the dead, because to us, death is final. To God, there is no such thing as finality, because God determines finality, not man. So here's the thing. Jesus has just raised somebody from the dead. Now, you are blind. In your mind, it's like blind, dead. This is no problem for God if he can raise the dead. They needed to get close to Jesus. They wanted to get close to Jesus because they immediately realized, if we have any hope of ever seeing again, or ever seeing, I don't know if they ever did see, it would be to get close to this man. They did not live in an age or in an era where we could go to some specialist or we could have some cornea transplant or something. If God didn't help them, there was no help for them whatsoever. So, it is interesting to note that when they come to Jesus, obviously somebody was helping them to get closer to Jesus. And when they got close to Jesus and they realized that they were in the proximity of Jesus, they addressed him in the following manner. They said to him, "Son of David." As Jesus went on from there, the two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." David, have mercy on us, Son of David. Now, this is quite significant. You see, sometimes when we read the Bible, there are certain things that we don't click it the way that an Israelite from those times might have understood it. To us, Son of David is just another way of addressing Jesus. But the moment they addressed Jesus as the Son of David, it revealed something to Jesus that is maybe not so apparent to us. It's quite significant because by calling Jesus the Son of David, they were immediately implying that they believed that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. Because the Jews believed that the Son of David would be the Messiah, the Savior that would come to liberate mankind. Isaiah 11 verse 1 says the following. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his wrath, and with the breath of his mouth he will slay the wicked. The Jews believed that the son of David would be this individual. It would be this person that comes to judge, this person that comes to heal, this person that comes to liberate. They believed in him as the Savior. Now, I want to point out something very interesting. There was only pretty much three people that ever addressed Jesus as son of David. The one was a Canaanite woman who was, by all definition, an unbeliever. Back in the day, she was seen as a heathen. All right, she was not a believer. She did not come from the root of Jesse. She was not an Israelite. She was not a Jew. She was deemed to be an unbeliever. Yet she recognized in Jesus immediately, Son of David, have mercy on my daughter. Okay. The other two people that addressed Jesus as Son of David was two blind men. Yes, an interesting thought. It would seem that in this case, the blind had more vision than those with eyesight. Because you see, the Jews that walked with Jesus and saw all the signs and the wonders and the miracles, none of them came to the point that they made the connection, but this must be the son of David. And in the same way, it would seem that unbelievers seem to link quicker to Christ than sometimes believers do. It was prophesied in Isaiah that the Messiah would restore the sight to the blind. Isaiah 35 verse 5 says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and then the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy." So when the Messiah, Isaiah prophesies and he says, when the Messiah, or the Messiah means God's anointed one. When God's anointed one comes, God will give him the power to heal the sick. God will give him the power to cause the mute to speak. God will give him the power to cause the blind to see. And it is quite clear, when these blind men came to Jesus, they had already, listen carefully, when they came to Jesus, they had already in their hearts made up their minds, this man is the Messiah. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people came to Jesus, I suppose with like a, I can't say critical, but like, okay, convince me. You know, that's how a lot of people are. Oh, convince me. It's like, okay, I've heard all the stories, I'm here to see. These guys did not come there for Jesus to prove something to them. Just based on the stories that they'd heard and the excited testimonies that had filtered through to their ears, they had already made up their minds. Nobody could convince them otherwise. They knew the Messiah was walking the earth, and they wanted to do anything in their power to get to him. So when they eventually met with him, they immediately addressed him in their own language, "Messiah, have mercy on us." When the blind men came to Jesus, they had already accepted that he was the Messiah and he was the healer prophesied by Isaiah. They already had faith in Jesus as the Messiah. They had faith in him as the Son of God. They had faith in him as the healer. They had faith in him as the Redeemer. Now, I want to show you something very interesting. The way Jesus responded to them. Sometimes the way God responds to us leaves us a tiny bit perplexed. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 9 verse 27, "As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, son of David.'" Now, what you should understand, when they were calling out, the original text makes it clear that they kept calling and calling and calling and calling. Now, I want to ask a question. Is Jesus deaf? Does he need to open his own ears? Okay. So here's the thing. Jesus is walking down the road. These two guys following him, making a big scene. Put yourself in their shoes. They know the Messiah is close, but they can't see where he is. They want to attract his attention. Are they crying out, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David? Or are they crying out, Jesus? I want to tell you something. They made a big scene. Probably there was a couple of people that needed hearing aids after being in close proximity to them, because they blind. They don't know, am I 5 meters from him? Am I 20 meters from him? Am I next to him? But I want to make sure that he knows that I'm around and I have a problem. I need a solution. I believe he can help me. And here goes Jesus walking down the road. And these two guys are going ballistic. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. I'm sure there was a lot of people that were very perturbed, because this was like very annoying. But Jesus doesn't say one word to them. I want you to listen. Jesus keeps walking. These people are going nuts. He keeps walking. I can tell you now, the disciples were like, what's happening? What's up with this? Jesus doesn't say a word. He keeps walking. Eventually, he gets to his destination, somebody's house. They follow him into the house. They weren't invited, but they didn't care. They follow him into the house. So, it's quite clear that Jesus did not immediately respond to their request. In fact, you even get the idea that Jesus didn't even acknowledge their request, but just continued walking towards his destination. And it was only much later that Jesus did acknowledge them and gave heed to their request. Now, I understand that it's sometimes a bit strange for us when we encounter these kind of things. And possibly it doesn't make sense to you, but why? I mean, if God knows these people have a need and they're coming to him with their need, I mean, the Bible says, call on me and I will answer you, doesn't it? So then, I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but why the fun and games? Why doesn't he just turn around? Oh, okay, you got a problem. Be open, you know? Boom, their eyes are open and there they go on their way. Well, there's a reason for that and I'm going to show you. Jesus, his reaction probably played a very big role in the fact that they did get healed. And I know for you right now that might not make sense, but I'm going to try to show you what exactly is going on. By ignoring them initially, it would undoubtedly reveal to God and to Jesus what was in their hearts. I want you to listen to me carefully. How do you know what is really in somebody's heart? Don't give them what they want, and you'll see exactly who they are. Amen. You treat everybody nice, oh, everybody's nice. You treat them in a way that they didn't want, and you see who they really are. Hello? Is this talking to anybody in this place? Ah, okay. All right. By ignoring them initially, Jesus could see what was in their hearts. You see, by ignoring them, there was a couple of ways that they could have reacted. The first way that they could have reacted was what I think quite a lot of people in this room would have done. Anger. How dare you not listen to me? For goodness sakes, can't you hear me? What's wrong with you? I mean, I've got a need. You're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be the Son of God. Why don't you help me? You know, I don't know if you guys, some of you will remember. Many years ago, I was preaching in Alberton. I don't know if you guys remember that one woman one night. You know, when I start praying for people, the Holy Spirit sort of pushes me in a certain direction. And I endeavor to get to everybody. And one thing you must understand, if you come to one of our meetings, we pray for every single person. But you have to understand, somebody's going to be lost. Hello? Somebody's going to be lost. There's no way around it. Somebody has to be lost. And there was this woman. I'd been praying for people. I prayed for this one and I prayed for that one. And I don't always go according to now you, now you, now you. Sometimes I pray here, then I pray there, then I pray there. Sometimes the Spirit of God pushes me in a certain direction. The next moment, this woman goes ballistic. She has a total hissy fit right there. She throws a tantrum of note. How dare I call myself a man of God because I keep ignoring her? Can't I see her? Can you remember that night? No, she's not the only one. We have that many times. We've had that many times. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I was blown away. I thought to myself, what? And the way this woman went on, it was just mind-blowing. Needless to say, I actually didn't pray for her. I said to her, ma'am, you know what? If this is the way that you want to be about things, I don't believe God can help you. Because with an attitude like that and with a heart like that, I want to tell you something. Until you don't deal with your heart, God can't heal whatever it is you expect Him to heal. You better humble yourself before God. You don't tell God what to do. You humble yourself and ask Him for help. You don't command and demand from the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will not be told by man or anybody else. Yeah, then they swear at you. Yeah, all right. It's true, but let's not go there now. I don't want to depress the people. All right, okay. Here's the thing. Okay, so the first way that they could have reacted was in anger. And let's be very honest, that is the way that a lot of times we react when somebody seems to be ignoring us. It's like, how dare you ignore me? Acknowledge my presence. Acknowledge my request. Okay. The second way that they could have reacted was in discouragement and disillusionment. Now, you know what? I knew I was going to waste my time. You know, nothing ever wants to happen for me. I've had enough. I'm going home now. Do people do that? It's like, okay, I've tried. I knew it wasn't going to work. Okay. And of course, self-pity, and that was a bit of self-pity that I showed you there. And probably if you think about it, you can add a couple of other things. But the fact is, they're following Jesus. They keep crying out to Him. He's ignoring them flat. He doesn't even send one of the disciples to say, listen, yeah, just tell that Oki there that I've heard him. He doesn't have to scream so loud. I'll attend to him later. Jesus is just, he's quiet. And there he goes. He keeps marching. And they keep screaming. Now, had they been angry and shouted and been critical of Jesus, would they have acted in faith? Had they been discouraged, disillusioned, turned around and gone home, would they have acted in faith? Had they been full of self-pity and started crying and, oh my, I wish I would die. Would that have been acting in faith? No. None of these reactions would have stemmed from faith. Jesus was simply testing their faith. Why was He testing their faith? Because if you want to be healed by God, you better bring faith to the table. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you must understand something. You better please God if you want to get somewhere with God. Mark chapter 6 verse 5, He, Jesus, could do no miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them as He was amazed by their lack of faith. You see, even Jesus, and this is something that I know, even for me sometimes, I find that it's weird because we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about the man of which the Bible tells us upon Him was the Spirit of God without measure. The man, the Son of God spoke a word and the earth came into being. And people's lack of faith stop Him from working. And that's why sometimes faith needs to be tested. I want to tell you something. It's very easy for you to tell God how much faith you have. Wait until God puts the screws on you and tests your faith. And then see whether you still have as much faith as you thought you did. Because faith is not needed in the good times. Faith is needed when there's trials, tribulations, sickness, infirmity. The devil is busy with you. Satanic affliction overruns you. That's when faith is needed. Faith comes easily off the tongue, but faith is not so easy to manifest in your lifestyle. And it has to be tested. So, in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus could do no miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. A prerequisite for healing is faith. A prerequisite for a miracle is faith. And sometimes God will test to see whether there's faith. The one thing that these blind men had going for them is they had something called perseverance. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for perseverance. Yeah, thank God for perseverance. They persevered even to the point. Now think about this. Jesus has just gone into a stranger's house. Okay, to Jesus it was probably not a stranger. Probably Jesus had an appointment there. Maybe he was invited for supper there. I don't know. But guess what? Jesus brought guests. Two blind men who refused to wait outside. And I can only imagine the palaver that they made to get into that house, because they were never invited into the house. And probably the owner of the house was like, oh, but I invited Jesus and the disciples. No, 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 you can't come in. Out of my way. I need to see Jesus. They operated in perseverance. They would not have done this if they weren't moved by an unwavering faith that Jesus can heal them. Listen to me. If they doubted Jesus' abilities, would they have gone through all the problems? If they doubt, let's say, just for argument's sake, because I don't know how far Jesus traveled. The Bible gives us no indication. But let's say Jesus traveled from South Hills to Alberton, which is probably about a 10-kilometer journey. How long will it take that journey take you on your foot? If we walk, let's say, 5 kilometers an hour, that's 2 hours. For 2 hours, they persevered. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. He ignored them, but they didn't care. Eventually, they come to a place where somebody says to them, listen, you're not invited. Where's your ticket? You don't have a ticket. You can't come in. Out of my way. I want to see Jesus. Would they have gone through all of that if they did not believe in their hearts? If they had already made peace with the fact that this man is going to heal me? And then we wonder why they were healed. Now you know why they were healed. Because they showed God something. They showed God faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In the Living Translation, it says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we do not see it up ahead. That's actually a very nice way of looking at it. I'm going to read it to you again. Listen to this. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. Amen? Is there something that you want? Everybody in this room has something that they want. What is the magical ingredient that is needed for it to come? It's called faith. Faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we don't see it up ahead. It's there. I can't stop on my journey. I will not give up. It's there. And then the devil comes and he says to you, "Ah, oh, but it's been so many years and this and that has happened." You, be quiet. It's there. I know it's there. It's coming. The two blind men displayed faith. Because even though it may have looked like they were not going to be healed, they would not let that put them down. They kept persevering. They kept trusting. Even though everything in the physical seemed to be against them, they did not give up. And it was reckoned to them by God as faith. All right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. When he, that is Jesus, had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Even after they have followed him for, let's say, 10 kilometers, shouting all the time, forced their way into a stranger's house, when Jesus comes to them, he doesn't say, "Okay, guys, man, my heart goes out to you. Wow. You oaks have really got a lot of perseverance." He says, "But do you believe I can do this?" If they had any doubts, they would have been like, "Maybe you can't. Oh, sorry. Sorry I wasted your time." No. They said yes. I believe that Jesus already knew that these men had faith. He didn't need to check any further. What he probably wanted from them was a confession. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we need to confess what we believe. Jesus wanted a confession of what they believe. In the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it says the following: "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved." How do we get saved? It's not just by believing, it's also by confessing. There is power in confession. Amen? Is there anybody that needs to be healed in this place tonight? Then God needs a confession from you. God needs a confession. "I believe that God is going to heal me." It's not positive thinking. It's the power of confession. And God expects these things. You cannot be saved if you don't confess Jesus as your Lord. You need to confess your faith in Him, and that brings you from darkness into light. God wants a confession. So, yes, salvation is portrayed as having a twofold criteria. Faith, in other words, believing in your heart, but that alone is not enough. Secondly, you must confess with your mouth. You must confess with your mouth. Okay. Matthew 9, verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done unto you." And their sight was restored. Now, this is a massive statement that Jesus is making here. Their healing took place according to their faith, not according to his ability. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus has the ability to heal any sickness, any disease, any infirmity, any condition. You name it, he can heal it. But that doesn't mean you'll receive it. Because healing is not based on his ability, it is based on your faith. Amen? And let's not stop with healing. Some of you here tonight, you need some kind of a miracle. He created the world by speaking a word. "Let there be light." Boom. There was light. "Let the waters separate." Boom. They separated. How difficult is it for him to grant you your miracle? He simply has to speak it and it comes to pass. The problem is not with him. The problem is with us. It's here in our hearts. Why? Because we are often double-minded. One minute we believe, the other minute it's like, oh, it's not going to happen. Put yourself, just for a second, in the shoes of these two blind men. They've gone through who knows how big an ordeal just to get to the proximity of where Jesus was. The Bible doesn't tell us, but what if they were 500 kilometers that side and they first had to take a long, arduous, perilous journey just to get to somewhere close to where Jesus is? And they blind. They have to trust strangers. People can rob them. People can assault them. All sorts of funny things could have happened to them. Yet they keep going. Then they get to the place where Jesus is and he ignores them. If you had to go through all of that, here's my question. Would you still be following? And after 10 or 20 or 30 kilometers, would you still be walking behind him? Jesus, Jesus, have mercy. Or would you have turned around a long time ago and said, it's a waste of time. Because that's how most people are. And I want to tell you straight, that's why most people will never get a miracle from God. Because we want only the easy things to come to pass. If it's not easy, God's expecting way too much from me. What? I must wait 3 hours? You must be mad. You know, Sievan Delon's on TV, for goodness sake, man. Okay, you oaks don't watch Sievan Delon. What do you watch? The Bold and the Beast. Is that rubbish still on TV? Hey! That's like a curse that doesn't want to go away. But come on, that's how people think. That's how people reason. And I want to tell you something. You want to understand why in the society that we live in, we very seldom see healing. We very seldom see miracles. We very seldom see the power of God move. This is why. Because people will not persevere. If God expects them to give even 0.5% of themselves, then God is asking too much, because God must give everything and we just want to have it. I want to tell you something. God doesn't operate that way. You got to give from yourself. These oaks, I wish I could have a film of everything that these two, I want to say, poor individuals had to go through just to get to the place where Jesus was, and then what they had to go through to get close to him, and then what they had to go through on that journey. And I can tell you, probably there was like 1,000 people that told them to shut up. Probably 1 or 2 people clapped them. It's like, hey, geez, you're irritating me. Yeah, I remember. But you went and you got a blessing. I remember. Now here's the thing. I've been on this road for close on 20 years. And can I tell you what I've learned? And this is God's honest truth. This is my experience. The more people complain, the more people moan, the more people perform, the more they throw tantrums, the less God does for them. The people that keep going, the people that persevere, the people that go through the trial, go through the tribulation, go through the suffering, and still stay strong and are still there, are the people that see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the breakthrough. The people that are willing to give of themselves get something from God. The people that want God to give everything get nothing from God. And that's what the story is all about. It's not a story. It's an actual account. But that's kind of like what this is all about. So, Jesus has the ability to heal any disease, any infirmity, any condition. Yet that doesn't mean that everybody has the faith to warrant receiving that healing. Faith is like an expectation. Jesus told them that he simply gave them what they expected to receive in their hearts. Do you hear what I'm saying? If they came to Jesus with like a mediocre expectation, well, you know, somebody told me that you could heal me, prove it to me. Were they going to get something? Nothing. Their expectation was massive. They refused to believe in anything else. That was what they wanted. And guess what? They received it from God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that they would have been healed if they came to Jesus with only a tiny, slight expectation? I want you to listen carefully. If they came to Jesus with this like, let's see if he can do it. Let's see if he really is this powerful man that everybody says. Would they have received anything from God? No. You see, faith is a truly wonderful thing. Through it, God can heal the sick. But God can also do a lot more. You see, the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was taken to heaven. Enoch. If you have a lot of faith tonight, you might be not. You know, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not. Enoch, maybe tonight you was not. We will see. By faith, Noah escaped God's judgment. Why was Noah put on the ark? Because Noah had faith. Noah was a man of faith. By faith, Abraham was given a son, even though he was too old to have one. By faith, his wife carried a son, even though she never believed. By faith, Moses parted the seas. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. I want you to see a pattern here. Faith does not just work for healing. Faith can work for everything. It's a one-size-fits-all solution. It's like these socks I'm wearing. They say it's one-size-fits-all. They're lying, of course, because it doesn't fit everybody, but it's like, you know. Faith can be applied to any problem, and it can fix the problem. Amen. Faith allows us to enter the realm of God where the impossible is possible. It opens up a dimension where normal, carnal, worldly weakness, limits, principles just don't matter anymore. And anything is possible. Let's ask a question. If we now look at it from this perspective, listen carefully. Okay. Humor me. Just do this with your ears. Both. Now you look like Prince Charles. Okay. No, forget about that. Just do this. Do this. Looking at it from this perspective, what is tonight your expectation when you come to God? You can, yes. Yeah, but you weren't supposed to block your ears. You were just supposed to cup them. Oh, okay, all right. Looking at it from this perspective, what is your expectation coming to God tonight? Is your expectation big? Is it grand? Is it awesome? Or is it just like, we'll see what will happen? What is your expectation for your children? What is your expectation for your finances? What is your expectation for your ministry? What is your expectation for your work situation? What is your expectation for the sickness or the infirmity or the problem that you are confronted with right now? And now I want you to listen to me very carefully. What are you going to do if initially Jesus is silent? Now, that's a very, very important question. Because you see, many times The first time, the second time, the third time you call, you ask. The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time you call, you ask. Jesus, just like in this account, is quiet. What you gonna do? Well, I can't answer that. But I can tell you what I've seen many times. Anger. Temper. Impatience. You know? I want it. That gets you nowhere with God.
You look so nice when you do that. Huh?
Do I?
Because probably that's what you do to yourself, huh?
Why?
I don't know.
Why would I do that to myself? I've seen many people do it. What will you do if Jesus does not react immediately? In this world, most of us like to be in control. When we want something, we want it now. We will normally make a plan to get what we want quickly. If someone doesn't help or serve us quick enough, we go elsewhere. Now let me tell you something, and I want you to listen carefully. If you bring this attitude with you into your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in trouble. And then you have to understand why you're getting nowhere with God. Because God doesn't have time for that rubbish. God is going to test your faith. It's His privilege to test your faith any way He wants to. He's God. And let me tell you something. God doesn't answer to you. You answer to God. Amen? Do you know what was one of the biggest things that kill faith? What is one of the biggest things that kill faith? No. 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 Impatience. Yeah. Because your impatience causes you to grumble, causes you to moan, causes you to complain, causes you to stop walking that road. I've walked a long time, nothing has happened, I'm not going to do it anymore. God is expecting too much of me. Impatience is often the greatest killer of faith. If we are impatient, we cannot trust that God is in control, even when it seems that He isn't. When we are impatient, we cannot trust that God is in control. God doesn't have to rush nothing. If God chooses to take longer, there must be a reason for it. Can you see everything? Do you know all? But He does. So if He chooses to take a month, there's a reason for it. If He chooses to take a year, there's a reason for it. If He chooses to take 5 years, there must be a reason for it. The fact is, our impatience cancels our faith. The one thing that these two blind men had, that they had lots of, was patience. They kept going and going and going. And guess what? They received the reward. They received the reward. And I want to say something to you. Impatience is a huge problem in our society. And unfortunately, we bring that same attitude to God. We want it. We want it now. Oh, you didn't give it to us now? Well, now I'm upset. How many people stop going to church because God didn't answer their prayer yesterday? But did they bother to ask God when He was going to answer it? No, it's just, I want it and I want it yesterday, or I want it today, or you know. God is God. He's well able to do everything that we can think of, but that doesn't mean he's going to do it for you. He's going to check out your faith. God is going to test you. Whether you pass the test or not is up to you. Sometimes, when God is quiet, sometimes when God doesn't answer, God is giving you an opportunity to prove whether you have faith or not. Sometimes when the breakthrough doesn't come today, God is waiting to see how you're going to handle it, as to whether he will give it to you tomorrow or not. Amen? Did anybody learn something?
We have a list, we have a piece of paper and a pen for those people that want to leave their numbers. We'll send you an SMS when we start in the beginning of the year. And in behalf of this ministry, myself and the team, we want to wish you all the best for the new year and Merry Christmas to all of you. And thank you for your support.
Sorry. Is there anybody that needs a seed to sow into the kingdom of God? Please put your hands up.